All right, on this Thursday morning, the FBI has released its 2017 hate crime statistics, and it reveals, and this is surprising and troubling, a 17% increase in hate crimes since 2016. Joining us right now is ABC News crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
What's the reason for this jump?
Well, it's complex. You know, some would claim that incendiary comments by politicians may be contributing to it, or inadvertently legitimizing certain extremist groups. That's probably some of it, but I think it goes deeper than that. But what's deceptive about these numbers is that the FBI said that there was a little over 7,000 hate crimes reported to them. Now, it's a voluntary thing that police report it to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's underreported. There are a number of jurisdictions that don't report at all. And the DOJ, by their own victimization survey estimates, is that that number could be around 250,000 people are victimized via hate crimes. You know, that doesn't mean or translate into, 250,000, mass shootings or whatever. We talk about those. But that people have committed crimes against others, on a much lesser, if probably violent level. But that's a big number.
Yeah. When we talk about hate crimes, what do we mean by hate crimes? Just to make sure everybody's on the same page here.
Okay. So if you go out and murder somebody or a group of people, obviously you can be charged with murder. But if you went to, let me give you probably the best example. Dylann Roof goes to an African American church in Charleston, South Carolina, and kills 9 people. He went there because he wanted to kill African Americans. Mm-hmm. And so the government has to prove that's why he went there. Same way with the shooter at the synagogue in Pittsburgh, who had, this long track record of anti-Semitic comments online, etc. So the government have to show a pattern. You can't just say it once and that's it. There have to be a pattern of this bias, bigotry, and that's what drove you to commit the crime. In the federal system, if you're charged with hate crimes, you can potentially face the death penalty, which, obviously the guy in Pittsburgh is going to have that problem. Dylann Roof was convicted of that. So, yeah. So that's the difference.
So how do we try and get this trend to reverse? And I wonder if it's because the pendulum, they always say the pendulum swings both ways, and so for years we have been more inclusive, we have been more tolerant as a society, and maybe those that are intolerant have grown to the point where they can't take it anymore. Are we going to see the pendulum swing in a different direction now?
Well, for whatever reason, there are people in the extremist, let's say white supremacist, mm-hmm. neo-Nazi, anti-Semitic crowd that feel more legitimized today, mm-hmm. and they're more outwardly or publicly verbal, and that will tend to attract, because the estimates are that about 60% of the people that are attracted to these groups are attracted to them because of the thrill of what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's some of it is that, but it's not an easy ship to turn around, because you're really talking about hate and intolerance, and getting people not to be intolerant or hateful, once they become a certain age, is really tough to turn that around.
And this is not just an American problem. This is international, isn't it?
I mean, if you look at England, for example, there's 66 million people. The police said that 94,000 hate crimes were reported last year alone.
Wow. That is troubling indeed. We'll keep a close eye on it. Brad, we appreciate the insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No problem. Take care, Paul.
Bye now.